The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Notice, if you will, Daniel chapter 5. I'm a little bit awkward tonight. I have glasses I use normally, and I was out door knocking in the rain on Saturday, and rain probably had nothing to do with it, but I was in a young couple's apartment showing them how to be saved, and I took the glasses off, and when I did, they're the type that makes all the print look really big, but when I take it away, I have to adjust my eyes because I can see this, but I can't see you, and I can see you, but I can't see this, and so I'm in a fix. And so, but look, if you will, and I'll try to do the best I can tonight. It's kind of awkward. I'm flying out. I've got a bunch of preachers coming Monday and Tuesday night to that meeting, and I hope I'm not a disappointment to them. But Daniel chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For as much as an excellent spirit," Daniel was known as a person that had an excellent spirit. In Daniel chapter 5 and verse 10, just to bring it back for rehearsal's sake, you'll see that here's the queen, and she comes in because the king and his lords had summoned her to come to the banquet house. She comes into the banquet house, and she kind of dirties him a little bit and says, "Now look, I know that you're going to have troubled thoughts, and be careful, don't let your countenance change with what I'm about to say to you, but there is a man in the kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods." Now you understand this is not a saved woman, but she knew something was different about Daniel. She knew that Daniel possessed the ability to be able to help her husband. Why? Because this is the same Daniel that helped her husband's father, if you would. And so she knew that as Daniel had helped Nebuchadnezzar, so could he be used to be able to help him. And so she reminds him that in the days of thy father, that there was the time when he did have the understanding and needed to have the wisdom. And again, she refers back to the wisdom of the gods, not being somebody that understands the relationship that Daniel had with his heavenly father, the creator God of the universe. The Bible says that the king, had made him masters over the musicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And so she said, "Let me remind you now, this same Daniel that your daddy dealt with, he had so much respect for him because of his wisdom, because of his excellent spirit, that he even raised him up to be over these others." And then she begins to testify about Daniel, "For as much as an excellent spirit." Now, I think all of us ought to strive to have an excellent spirit. Can I remind you that when you go through turbulent times, those turbulent times ought not to turn you in any direction in your spirit. Your spirit always should be an excellent spirit. "For as much as," it says, "an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding," as I read this verse to you a little bit ago. And so she's instructing him to go ahead and try to call Daniel to help him as Daniel did help his father. And then you'll see in verse 14, as I read a moment ago, that he was also known for his excellent wisdom as well. And so I announced this morning I'd preach a message on my worst enemy. And I said, "Now if you come tonight, I will name my worst enemy." And all of a sudden, there's a bunch of wives. It's hitting the husbands like, "You're it, aren't you?" And no. And it's not that way. Here's what we see, though, that the Bible wants us to have a good spirit. The Bible does. And I don't know about you, but I really try to. I do. More than I try to work on anybody else, honestly, before the Lord, I try to work on me. I try always to have an excellent spirit, no matter what comes my way. Now, I'm not saying that's easy, and I'm not saying sometimes that it's even fun, but it's good to have the right spirit. And sometimes that means laughing during the times when it's hard. And sometimes that means smiling and you feel like you ought to be weeping. But we ought to always work on having an excellent spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14, "The spirit of a man will sustain him," or will sustain, it says, "his infirmity, and a wounded spirit," who can bear? Have you ever seen somebody get a wounded spirit? Have you ever seen somebody that has had their feelings hurt and it went deep and they could not get over it? Have you ever seen somebody, if you would please, that has had such a wounded spirit that they've lost their joy? They've lost their ability to be able to laugh. They've lost their ability to be able to enjoy life. All right? Now, can I tell you, you have an enemy that wants to destroy your spirit. You have an enemy tonight that wants to hurt you. He's not out to give you profit, and those that are set up as enemies are not out to give you profit, and that which I'll describe tonight as my worst enemy is not out to give me gain or profit. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of the cross, the form of a servant, it says, and was made in the likeness of men. So even our Lord Jesus knew what it was to become a servant. He knew what it was to not be somebody that would lift himself up, but rather he was there to be able to serve. When I think of people that has an excellent spirit, I think about our Lord on the cross. He even looked down for those that were there before him and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, if Jesus Christ, our Savior, can look at those that are about to take that spear and jab it in his side, they've already placed the crown of thorns upon his head, they've already nailed his hands to the cross and his feet to the cross, and if he can look down upon them and say, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do," then pray tell me tonight, why can't you forgive somebody that sits in your seat when you come to church? Why can't you forgive somebody that has hurt your feelings? Why can't you forgive somebody that is your annoyance? Okay, I'm saying this. There's a lot that we can learn from our Lord. You can learn a lot from Joseph. Joseph, of course, was a slave in Potiphar's house. Still had a good spirit. If you would please, he was one that rose up, if you will, and earned the respect so that Potiphar gave him all of the ability and the authority and the responsibility in the house, so that he knew was over all the scheduling. He knew who was going to be in the field because he put him there. He knew who was going to be in the house because he put him there. He was master in charge over all, if you would please, of Potiphar's house. And yet, you'll see that Potiphar's wife said some things about him, gave a charge against him that was not a right, but yet at the same time, he kept a good spirit. He was put in the king's dungeon. Why was there? Kept a good spirit. He was forgotten by those that got out of the dungeon. Kept a good spirit. He came into the house of Pharaoh and serving there in the house of Pharaoh, kept a good spirit. And when you see Joseph, if you will, you'll see somebody that kept a good spirit all the way through. Now, I can learn from that. When I see Paul, you'll understand, was somebody that was persecuted, he himself, after he got saved. You will see that the magistrates came against him and took away his freedom, but you'll see even in jail that he had a good spirit. You'll see that the Apostle Paul had his reputation destroyed, but while in jail, he's singing at midnight and had a good spirit. Now, I'm saying that tonight we understand that there are people out there, yea, there is the devil that tries to hurt your spirit. Let me tell you about some enemies tonight, then I'll name my worst enemy. Statement number one, the devil is my enemy tonight. The devil tries to destroy me. He tries to get me discouraged. By the way, he's your enemy tonight. He'll try to destroy you. He'll try to hurt you tonight. He's real. Listen to me, friend. I said he's real. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So you are the whom. He is after you tonight. He's on your trail tonight. He's not after the things that you have. He's after you. And if he can get you, he has the things that you have. And so be very, very careful tonight. The Bible gives an antidote in verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 5. The Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So he said, now wait a minute, be aware of that one, be aware of that devil, be aware of that one that goeth about as a roaring lion. And then he says this, he said, resist him steadfastly. So what am I supposed to do? I'm not supposed to give in to him. When the devil tries to discourage me, when the devil is hot on my trail, when the devil is putting doubt in my heart, when the devil is trying to get me to succumb to wickedness and to evilness and to problems in my marriage or in my child-rearing abilities or in my relationships, I realize who is behind it and what am I supposed to do? The Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, it says, are accomplished in your brethren in the world. So you're not in it by yourself. So many times, here's what we do. We say, woe is me. You don't understand. I'm in this all by myself. You have never been in it all by yourself. The same type of things that you're going through in your life is the same type of things that other people are facing in their life. You're not by yourself. You sit there and say, well, I just don't understand. How come I have this feeling? There's other people that have that feeling too. Well, I just don't understand. How come I'm going through this? There's other people that's going through this also. But I just don't understand why I have these things that are put in my mind. There's other people that have those things that's put in their mind also. And so the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And then he says in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. So the devil wants to have a place in your life. In your marriage, he wants you to go to bed at night mad at each other. He wants you to go to bed at night not having your issues settled. He wants you to go to bed at night and not being able to resolve problems that you're having in your marriage. Now, by the way, here's what the Bible says in verse 26 of Ephesians chapter 4. He said, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So he said, don't let the sun go down upon you. In other words, don't go to bed, if you will, angry at each other. I'm telling you something, children, when you get mad at your parents, don't go stomping off into your bedroom at night, slam the door, and don't talk to them. No, the way to be able to work out every single problem that's in your home is through the avenue, the vehicle of communication. Go out and sit down and talk it through. Go on long walks with each other, husband and wife. Hold hands. Amen. Talk with each other. Spend time with each other. Work through the problems. Don't let the problems, listen now, work through you. Don't let the problems overtake you. God loves you too much. God loves your marriage too much. God loves your children too much. Don't let things pop up and overtake you. Work them out, communicate them through, and make sure that the devil does not get a place inside of your life. In the youth department, don't let the devil get a place. In the choir, don't let the devil get a place. In the bus ministry and other types of ministries that we have, don't let the devil get a place. Well, I just think that they're thinking this about me. You have no idea what somebody's thinking about you. Why is it that sometimes you see somebody talking in the hallway and you say, well, I just think they're talking about me? Why do you think you're so important? You know, come on now, help me out just a little bit. By the way, they might be saying good things about you. There is people that do say good things. There are a few, but there is people that do say good things. Now, what am I saying? Don't give place to the devil. Don't do that. Have good communication with your spouse. Have good communication with your children. Children, have good communication with your parents. Don't let the devil get a foothold in. I know preachers that are mad at each other because they think this about another preacher. I know church members that are mad at each other because they think this about another church member. Now, can I tell you, many times the devil will use things to put inside of your mind, if you will, that will cause you not to be able to have friends. And the devil will cheat you out of good friendships. Why? Because he gets a place, he gets a foothold inside of your life, and he causes you to think things that are not really there. Statement number one, I'm talking about my worst enemy. One enemy I got, not my worst one, I don't believe. When you get to this other part, you'll see it, but the devil is my enemy. Statement number two, the world is my enemy. Now, I'm not saying I want to move out of the world and go to Mars, Pluto, or Venus. I'm talking about the world system. Oh, can I tell you, my dear friend, that the world is getting worse, it's not getting better. Can I tell you that it's difficult to be an upright Christian in such a dark world? But can I also tell you, the Bible says in John chapter 17 and verse 13, and now I come to thee, this is the Lord praying, and now I come to thee. By the way, where you hear the Lord teaching the disciples how to pray, that's not a prayer that he prayed. It was a lesson on prayer. Okay? This is where you hear the Lord praying. John chapter 17, verse 13, the Bible says, now I come to thee, he says, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So God says through his son, I want you to have joy. I want you to have joy. You don't need to walk around looking like a dump truck has just rode over top of your face. He says, I do want you to have joy. Verse 14, the Bible says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Can I help you a little bit? When a preacher gets up and he preaches a holy book, and here's a person that's not living according to a holy book, it does rub them. That's a duh. Okay? Now the Bible says here, he says, I've given, it says, to them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, in verse 16. Verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So how is it that I can make it in the world with all of the temptations and all of the struggles? Young people today in our public school system and in our secular colleges are being solicited for that which is illicit sex, for that which is drugs, for that which is alcohol, for all those many, many things. How in the world can they make it? What is it that you can do? You work out in the world, and then you come to church for just a little while? And that's why I say people do need church.
Right.
Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right? And so here's what we understand, though. And so we come to that which is church, and then we go out, and all of a sudden the music just blares, and it hits you broadside, and cursing everywhere, and drugs everywhere, and all sorts of different challenges everywhere. How in the world do you make it? Here's what the Bible says. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is a truth. So what do? I get that word that is truth inside of me. And that truth will help to sanctify me. What does that mean? That helps me to be set apart so these things do not attach themselves to me. It protects me. That word of God. Oh, how many times do I see that people go to church because of the singing? And singing is good. How many times do I see people go to church because of a personality? And personalities are good. But can I tell you, when it comes down to it, you ought to go because of the preaching and the teaching of the Bible. Because the Bible will sanctify. The Bible will protect. the Bible. Look, if you come to church because of a personality, then can I tell you, as somebody gets older and they go through mood changes, personalities change. How many times have you met somebody and they were nice and now they're not so nice? Or they were not so nice and now they're nice? Ron Hamilton has a disease. What's it called that he has? He has dementia. Ron Hamilton, Pat's the Pirate. Oh, and so many times over the years did our children listen to the Pat's the Pirate tapes, and they honored him recently at a big university. They honored him and they loved him. Here's a man that has written thousands and thousands and thousands of songs. Now he has trouble remembering his children's name and his grandchildren's name. Can I tell you, listen, you don't know what you're going to face in the days to come. So why not enjoy loving people now? Why not enjoy spending time with people now? Why not enjoy getting to know people now? Why not enjoy being able to encourage people now? You just never know. I never thought that Buchanan, my dear friend, I think Buchanan, B.G. Buchanan, he's preached here a couple of times. I thought he lived to be an older man, you know, but he didn't. The Lord took him. And I was shocked when the Lord took him. Now, can I tell you, watch this, if you will. I'm saying that what we understand is this, that the world is an enemy. The world system I'm talking about. It's not godly. It's not something that's going to cause you to draw close to God. It's not those that are caught up in the world system. They have the world language with the cursing and the dirty jokes and the type of illustrations that they give and stuff like that. Please, don't ever feel like you have to be accepted by the world in order to be able to stand for God. Well, I think I've got to take up the philosophy of the 1970s. I've got to become like them in order to try to help them. No, you don't, my dear friend. It's all upon the Word of God. Amen. See, the Bible says that I can be in the world, but the world doesn't have to be a part of me, and I don't need to be destroyed by the evil of the world, but yet I can allow that Word of God to sanctify me. Then watch this. I said, statement number one, the devil is my enemy, it's yours too. The world is your enemy, mine too. But let me tell you the worst enemy. I'm talking about the worst enemy I have. My worst enemy. Here it is. My flesh is my worst enemy. My flesh. Oh, you say, what about the devil? Oh, most of us are not as important as the devil riding your trail. Oh, what about the world? Oh, most of us have a degree of a love for God that I would dare say that most of the people in this room is not going to go out and get drunk tomorrow. A couple of deacons might, but most of the people in this room is not going to do that. I would dare say that most of you is not going to go out and shoot drugs in your vein tomorrow. I dare say that. But you know what we wrestle with every single time, every single day? Is our flesh. Now here's what the Bible says about this, and I'll close it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24, the Bible says, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of the man is as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Well, what's that saying? That's saying it's all going to come to an end. So one day your flesh will end. It will. Can I tell you, before it ends, it never will. That's deep, I know. But before it ends, it never will. So you will have your flesh, saved or not, until your dying day. You will. All right, watch this, if you will. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, the Bible says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now that means that the list continues. All right, so here's what God says. God says you're always going to have trouble with these things. You say, but I'm a saved man. That doesn't mean that your flesh is saved. But I go to church. That doesn't mean anything. You're still going to have a battle with your flesh. But I read my Bible this morning. That's good. But you're still going to have a battle with your flesh. But I've got a mom and daddy that's Christian. That's good. But you're still going to have a battle with your flesh. But I've got a good church. I've got a good preacher. I've got a good Bible, a Sunday school teacher. That does not mean that your flesh is going to go away. When you have struggles, you and your husband, you and your wife, can I tell you, probably most of the time is because somebody is in the flesh. They're not submitting themselves to God, and somebody's wanting their own way, and they're not letting anybody else have a way. Watch this. Here we go. Look at it. Look at verse 22. We're in Galatians 5. He says, but the fruit, it says, of the Spirit, capital S, talking about Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. It says meekness, temperance. Watch this. Against such there is no law. The Bible says, and they, or Christ, have crucified the flesh with the, watch what it says, with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, that's capital S, let us also walk in the Spirit, that's capital S. All right, now wait a minute. So then the Bible says here that we're supposed to be those that choose to walk in the Spirit. All right, now lay down. So before you are saved, you are dead in trespasses and sin. Dead in trespasses and sin. That's why a lost person can come to church and they can hear the Bible taught, but not understand the riches of what God is trying to teach. They can pick up a Bible and read it, and they only get the facts out of it. They only get the facts out of it, all right? But they don't get the spiritual truths out of it. Why? Because the Bible is spiritually discerned. Now, all of a sudden, somebody shows you how to be saved, and you get saved. Now, you're no more dead in trespasses and sin. But God, if you will please, saves you, and when he saves you, his Holy Spirit now comes to dwell in you, whereby now, as you submit your spirit to his spirit, you understand, and it's easier to be obedient to God than disobedient to God. Why? Because as you are obedient to God, you get blessings. But there's always going to be the struggle of the flesh. And so you wake up in the morning, and as you wake up in the morning, you have a choice. You have that which is the flesh, you have that which is the spirit, and you have a choice. I think there's not a person in here that does not believe that we should read the Bible and let God, through his word, help us. Give us this day our daily bread. But in the morning time, afternoon, or evening, whenever you do it, you have a choice. You can do that which is spiritual, or you can do that which is flesh. You decide. And so if you do that which is spiritual, that which is flesh, here's what you do. Let's say you do something spiritual, and you read your Bible. Now, by the way, you've only got so much of you. That's all you've got. You've only got so much energy in a day. All right, I'll prove it to you. How many of you sometime during the day you run out of energy? Raise your hand. Yeah. By the way, one day you're going to run out of life. All right, and so here you are. This is you. You've got so much energy. You have so much life left. That's it. Friend, that is it. Now, you watch me, and so I wake up in the morning, and I say, yes, I will, yes, I will, that's what I'll do. I'll read the Bible today. But then tomorrow, well, let's just take one day at a time. And so I go to work, and a friend says, hey, you want to hear a good joke? I said, well, yeah, I like hearing a good joke. And it's a good joke, and it's full of sarcasm, and it's full of insults, and it's full of wickedness and stuff like that. And what am I doing? I'm giving a part of me to that which is flesh. All right, and then I go to lunch and I pray over my meal, and then I'm hungry, so I steal part of his meal, And then I decide I'm going to take off early, but I'm not going to tell the boss. I mean, after all, he's not going to miss me. I'll still get paid. I'll make up for it later, so I cheat him. 30 minutes. And then it comes time for income tax. Well, I tell you what, the government, they should not take all my money. So I cheat a little bit more. Then I come to church on Sunday morning. I come back on Sunday night. Oh, I don't come on Wednesday because after all, there's a ball game. Now, wait a minute. You said, ought not to be that way, preacher. Ought to give more over here. Ought to give God more. I agree with you. I said, I agree with you. You decide where you're going to sow your life. You say, I can't be spiritual all the time. I do have to eat. I didn't say eating was sinful. Matter of fact, I think the more you eat, the less sinful it is. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. But now watch this, though. I'm saying you decide with your life where you're going to go with it. You decide where you're going to go with it. Okay, and so what happens is soul winning comes around, and you say, okay, yes, I'll go. Tithing time comes around. You say, God's not getting my money. You kidding me? I mean, he's God. He don't need that. Hello. And then, you know, come handshaking time, you go around, you encourage the brethren and stuff like that. But you also want to pick pockets as you do it. You go back and forth. You see, you don't forgive your wife and you go to bed mad at her. You're upset with the kids. You killed the neighbor's dog. I don't know, what other wickedness do you do right here?
Killed a cat.
I wondered who did that. Okay. All right, now I'm saying this. I think you got the picture. Here it is. You got the picture. My flesh is my worst enemy. Yeah, you got the picture. Your flesh is your worst enemy. By the way, run it through the filter, will you? When you go back to Galatians chapter 5, before you step out to do something, open your mouth, stick your foot in it, why don't you go ahead and take the Lipitz test to see, is it of works or is it a fruit of the Spirit? Good. Qualify it before you do it. It'll help you do better. D.L. Moody, he was asked by some type of person that was a reporter and came up and said, now, Mr. Moody, who is your worst enemy? He said, I can tell you that. He said, I see him every day. You do? Oh, yes, I do. You see him every day, every day. Tell me about your greatest enemy. Who is he? Who is he? The reporter pushed him for an answer, and he said, it's the fellow I look at in the mirror. It's true. It's true. By the way, you can have a good spirit if you want to have one. You can enjoy life if you want to enjoy life. You can be able to help people if you want to help people. You can. I went over to preach over here at this great Southwest Bible Conference in Arlington, and we were leaving to go to the meeting that night. And I told the fellows that rode with me, I said, you know, hey, we need to stop and just get a bite to eat. Let's just go to one of these fast food joints and, you know, Wendy's or McDonald's or something like that. Just grab something. I don't really care for those places, but I'm hungry, and let's just grab something before we go in tonight. You want to do it? They said, yeah. And man, you know, I went around past that Bible tract, went behind the counter, and I said, look, I just want to say thank you. You did such a good job tonight. Thank you. Look, I'm a pastor over at Parkside in Mesquite. If you ever get over that way, I want you to come. But if I never see you again, please take this. Read the back. And I was talking to the employees. Read the back of this. I'm not going to take you from your job right now, but take a little bit of time during your break. Please, I ask you, read the back of this. It'll show you how to go to heaven. I'd like to see everybody in heaven one day. That means you too. And so here, take this if you will. And you take it to, hey, over by the window, come here, I got one for you too. Come here and take this. And I gave it to him and said, please read that, because one day I'd sure like to see. You know, you make a choice as to how you're going to live out the rest of the days of your life. Let's live it for him. live it for him.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.